Thank you very much. I'm Vernon Joins, and for the next few moments, we're going to be discussing the church and some of the things that are happening. We're living in a time when even those who profess to be members of the body of the Lord and who represent themselves to be a guide of the blind, a light to them that are in darkness, a corrector of the foolish, and a teacher of babes, cast slurs and disparaging insinuations against that sacred institution that was purchased at the awful cost of the blood of God. We cannot overemphasize the importance of the church. It is the body of Christ, and Jesus is its head. Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. In the one body, the church, is to be found adoption as sons, redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, and every spiritual blessing is in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1, 3 through 14. And God adds every saved person to the church. Therefore, there are no saved persons outside of the church. And we can say that very positively, and the scripture can back us up in that. Acts 2 and verse 47. Jesus is the Savior of the church and died for her, shed his blood in Ephesians 5 verses 23 through 25. And when Paul persecuted the church, he was accused of persecuting Jesus. In Acts 9 and verse 4, there is one body, Ephesians 4:4, and the church is the household of God, the bride of Christ, the kingdom of God, the vineyard of the Lord, and the temple of God. And we dare not treat the church with contempt or do anything that would inflict a wound upon the precious body. It is somewhat startling to hear teachers who ought to know better talking about being loyal to Christ instead of the church, and complaining that the brethren are afflicted with the disease of churchianity, whatever that means, whereas they ought to be practicing Christianity. It is not strange to see the great division that some would make between Jesus and his body. Now, can you imagine that? Separating the head from the body? We suppose that one separates one's head from one's body, but it isn't advisable. Now, spiritual death will surely be the result of cutting the head as Jesus from the body, his church. Now, the church has grown remarkably in the past decades, and the fast-growing religious institution, according to the United States release, and the reason for this rapid growth has been our loyalty to God's Word. And any time, as we have seen recently, some who are not loyal to God's Word anymore, even though they say they are members of the church. We have furiously proclaimed the truth of the law of the Lord and have refused to make compromise with error. We have held the church forth as a desperate world, desperate for salvation from sin, and have demonstrated the distinctiveness of the true church as over against denominational bodies. We have not been arrogant, but we have been truthful. The church being the pillar and the ground of truth, 1 Timothy 3:15, and the truth being an irresistible force, has increased in a marvelous way. If we continue to preach the Word of God, and we refuse to be neutralized by the world, we will continue to grow. And if not, we cannot long survive. We are told that the rising generation is tired of hypocrisy and wants those who preach the word to tell it like it is. In this, we agree, and we know that the authority of the Bible is what we declare, and the real mission and work and nature of the church of the New Testament, the unfinished truth of God, is a universal truth, is our only aim. And until every person has heard the gospel of Christ, then it will still be unfinished as far as evangelism is concerned. Whether the world receives the truth or hates the light should not govern our actions. We're not men pleasers because we are servants of Christ. The Lord has told us that some seed will fall on hard ground, on the wayside, and we have no election or charge other than to preach the word. 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 through 3. And God being our helper, we will indeed tell it like it is. That's the only way to preach the gospel. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In this modern day, many are saying that the church needs to be changed from the divine pattern to conform to the wishes of the sons of the kingdom of darkness. Now, that's the devil. And men are not only liberalizing the Holy Scriptures, and they're doing it in their teaching, and they're even doing it in the perversions that are coming out, and many members of the church are using some that does not, some of them do not teach the truth, but they are forsaking the divine writing entirely. Some have abandoned the ranks of the army of the Lord and have joined the forces of Satan, and others are taking pot shots at the stalwarts of the faith as they stand on the firing line, and others are merely waving, not knowing and not caring whether Jehovah or Baal is God. False teachers are calling upon disciples to withdraw from the assembly of the saints and the watchful eye of the shepherds of the flock, that is, the elders, and to meet in small groups called by some cell meetings and by others house churches. But called by the same name, it amounts to a denial of the New Testament organization of the church and an open invitation for false doctrine to find currency. In some meetings may be found women usurping the place of men. One meeting featured a barefoot woman under the delusion she had the power to cast out demons. And that so-called ecstatic utterance, misnamed speaking in tongues, the attempt to move the church away from evangelism into areas of social concern, and many are other perversions of the gospel can be found. An occasional seminar pumps young people with misdirected zeal and stirs their emotions with deathbed stories, resulting in immature persons sneering at godly elders, referring to the faithful preachers as legalists, and branding the church for which the master died as tacky and 19th century. Their aim, we're told, is to drag us screaming and kicking into the 20th century, and we're in the 20th century and the 21st century, and these secret groups, they have been reported to meet in what has been called underground churches for more grotesque services, like trying to resurrect a dead cat, a feline mammal, for instance. And under the guise of love, these teachers of suspicion, mistrust, fear, and hate are out to destroy the restored church, it seems. And it seems they're trying to brand everyone who is dedicated to the New Testament principle as an ignoramus or a mentally impotent, and they're doing their thing, as they call it. And their thing is to wreck the church, if they can. And if what has been told and written is only half true, the remaining half is enough to justify apostolic warnings being pressed anew. Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the concision. Philippians 3 and verse 2. But there arose a false prophet also among the people, as among you also there shall be false teachers. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 1. That's the reason why he said, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but prove the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. In 1 John 4 and verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip or drift away from them. Hebrews 2 and verse 1. Let our love be without hypocrisy. Abhor that which is evil, and cleave to that which is good. In Romans 12 and verse 9. The one faith, the one church, are certainly under fire. It is time for the soldiers of the Lord to unsheathe the sword of the Spirit and make the enemies of spiritual Israel yield. Make no mistake, the battle is unto death, and the victory goes to the active, the vigilant, the strong, and the brave. The final reward belongs to those who are faithful to God and His law. The pleading cry of the old song continues, Soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on, strong in the strength which God supplies through His beloved Son. Are you obedient to His Son? Without obedience, none of us could be saved. Hebrews 5, 8, and 9. And the Lord demands that through faith we repent of our sins, and we confess our faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and to be baptized for the remission or forgiveness of our sins. Or if you're a child of God and you've gone astray, there is a way back. You must repent of your sins, acknowledge that you sinned if others are aware of it, and then pray and ask for God's forgiveness. May you find the strength to obey our Lord. Thank you for listening.